Chapter 25. Zara 23's entire flotilla of ZaraCorp lawyers, along with Brad Landon and Wheaton Aubrey VII, was waiting for Judge Soltan when she emerged from her chambers. "Well, I can't say this is a total surprise," Soltan said as she took her seat. Meyer approached the bench without asking and placed a folder in front of Soltan. "A request for the suspension of this preliminary hearing," she said. She dropped a second folder on the desk. "Request for a change of venue for the preliminary hearing," a third folder. "Request for suspension and review of your previous determination for more study concerning the so-called fuzzies," a fourth folder. "A request to have you removed for legal malfeasance." Soltan looked at the folders and then up at Meyer. "Someone's had a productive half hour," she said. "Your Honor, it's become abundantly clear that your legal standards are dangerously and prejudicially lax," Meyer began. "You're too late, Ms. Meyer," Soltan said, interrupting her. "Excuse me, Your Honor," Meyer said. "I said you're too late," Soltan said, "because I am not actually stupid, Counselor. While you were off drafting this raft of legal chaff, I was in my chamber amending my determination for more study of the fuzzies. It's been amended to require ZaraCorp to file a suspected sapience report, and not just in 2 weeks, Ms. Meyer, but immediately. You can pick one of your people here to write it up while we're listening to testimony, and file it with one of my clerks by the close of business today. So this..." Soltan lifted up the third folder, "is now outdated and irrelevant. As for the rest of these," Soltan said, motioning to the rest of the folders, "your request for the suspension of the preliminary hearing is denied. Your request for change of venue is denied. And as for your request to have me removed, by all means, file it with my clerk, who will send it along with every other request at the end of the business day. Which means, until then, we continue on as planned." "I'm afraid I can't do that," Meyer said. "I beg your pardon, Ms. Meyer," Soltan said. "I cannot, in good conscience, as a lawyer, continue with these proceedings," Meyer said. "I feel it's impossible for my client to get a fair hearing from you." "And which client would that be, Ms. Meyer?" Soltan asked. "Mr. DeLees over here, or ZaraCorp?" "Either," Meyer said. "Both. I refuse to continue with this preliminary hearing, and I will not direct my staff to file the SSR. I believe you are not competent to continue with the first or to require the second." "I admire your willingness to throw a wrench into the wheels of jurisprudence on behalf of your employer, Ms. Meyer, but I've given you my decisions," Soltan said. "You have given them," Meyer said. "I suppose now you'll have to enforce them." "A pretty sentiment, Ms. Meyer," Soltan said. "Unfortunately for you, this isn't the United States Supreme Court or the 1830s, and you are definitely not Andrew Jackson. And as for enforcing my orders, I ask you to note the security cameras on the wall above my head." "What about them?" Meyer said. "The security cameras don't just feed into the security office here on planet," Soltan said. "They also have a secure, encrypted wireless feed that goes directly to the Colonial Authority communication satellite and then into the databanks of the nearest Colonial Authority circuit court, in this case, the 7th CACC. The feed is mostly there to watch the judges, because judges on explore and exploit chartered planets are historically prone to corruption and bribery. It's a nice reminder to us to stay poor, impartial, and on our toes. However, they also have another purpose," Soltan continued. "If, and when, a judge feels that an E&E corporation is trying to Bigfoot its way around a courtroom, or if, say, a local general counsel gets it into her head to illegally override the orders of the court, or something even worse occurs, the judge can press a button, and the feed is ported live to the chambers of one of the sitting circuit court judges. It's just our little way of making sure that corporate executives on backwater worlds remember that they are not actually above the law. I pressed that little button just before I came back into this courtroom." "So, Ms. Meyer, you have a choice. You can continue with this preliminary hearing on behalf of your client, Mr. DeLees, or I can have the circuit court order down some colonial marshals to haul you away for contempt of court and obstructing a judicial proceeding. You'll very likely be disbarred, serve jail time, and, as you are an officer of the Zarathustra Corporation, a very heavy fine will be levied against the company." Likewise, if an SSR filing is not handed over to my clerk by the end of the business day, the Seventh Circuit will order the impounding of Zarathustra Corporation assets equivalent to the last 10 years of gross revenues from this planet. As you are making this little power play of yours in front of the future chairman and CEO of the company, who could stop you if he chose, there's little doubt you are carrying out a company order. So Zarathustra will be on the hook for all sorts of penalties, up to and including jail time for you, for Mr. Aubrey over there, and for every single Zarathustra lawyer in this chamber, with the exception of Mr. Sullivan, who, as his good fortune would have it, no longer works for your department. So, Ms. Meyer, smile for the camera and tell me what it will be. She is excellent, Holloway whispered to Papa Fuzzy. Papa Fuzzy watched everything with curiosity. It might not understand the details, but Holloway suspected it got the emotional gist of what was going on. I'll comply for now, Meyer said tightly after a moment. Your clerk will still be getting my request for your removal. At this point, I'd be disappointed otherwise, Soltan said. In the meantime, Ms. Meyer, back off my podium and get back to work. Meyer backed off, glancing at the cameras while she did so. Now that today's insurrection has been quashed, Soltan said briskly, I believe we have a witness to hear from. Mr. Holloway? Your name, please, Soltan asked Papa Fuzzy.
You know my name, Papa said.
He was at the witness stand, standing rather than sitting. Please say it again, Soltan said.
I am.
Pause.
Who Jack Holloway and other men call Papa,
Papa said. Your witness, Soltan said to Holloway. Papa, you know the day Baby and Pinto were killed, Holloway said.
Yes,
Papa said. Who? Soltan said. The two fuzzies who were killed, Holloway said. I called them Baby and Pinto. Baby was the one that was stomped. Pinto was the one who was shot. Continue, Soltan said.
Who were Baby and Pinto to you? Holloway said.
The one you call Baby was my child,
Papa said.
The one you call Pinto was to be the mate of my child in time.
Tell us what happened that day, Holloway said. Your Honor, we have already seen what happened on video a number of times, Meyer said. We can stipulate the events we've already seen. Your Honor, there's not much point in witness testimony if the witness isn't allowed to describe the events, Holloway said. Agreed, Soltan said. But let's not dwell on details, Mr. Holloway. Yes, Your Honor, Holloway said. He looked back to Papa. Tell us what happened that day, he said.
You were gone,
Papa said.
When you are gone, we leave your home and go to our people to talk and be with them. Baby heard the noise of his skimmer going to your home. Baby went to see. Baby wanted to see Carl. Pinto went with Baby. I was near, but I was in the tree, eating. I did not go with them. I heard Pinto call to me, to say that the man was not you, but some other man. Then I heard my child cry, and then stop. Then I heard Pinto yell. Then the man yelled. Then Pinto called for help. I came from the trees and heard a very big noise. Then I came to the tree by your house, and I saw the man step on my child. I saw the man kill my child. I saw the man hold my child and put my child in your house. Your house was on fire. And then I heard the man speak.
Tell us what the man said, Holloway said.
I did not know some of the words,
Papa said.
Try, Holloway said.
The man said, Jesus Christ, Magadam face,
Papa said. He said, Jesus Christ, my goddamn face, Holloway said.
Yes,
Papa said.
Those are the words the man said. The man was very loud.
Did you see his face? Holloway said.
I did not see the face of the man,
Papa said.
I did not need to see a face. I knew the voice.
How did you know his voice? Holloway asked.
The man had come to your house before,
Papa said. When had he come to my house before? Holloway asked.
The man came with three other men,
Papa said.
You let the three other men go to your house. You did not let this man go to your house. You did not let the man get out of the skimmer.
How do you know it was the same voice? Holloway asked.
The man was very loud in the skimmer,
Papa said.
Pinto went to look at the man, and the man did not like that. I was in the tree, and I heard the man yell.
Did you see the man's face that time? Holloway asked.
Yes,
Papa said, and pointed at Deleuze.
This is the man.
Holloway glanced over at Meyer, and then at Aubrey and Landon, who sat in the audience seats with their flotilla of lawyers. He smiled at each of them and picked up his info panel. This is the day Papa is referring to, Holloway said, and loaded up the video of Deleuze pitching a fit in the skimmer while Pinto rubbed his bottom against the glass. Unfortunately, there's no sound with the video, but I think it's pretty obvious that Mr. Deleuze is being quite vocal. Mr. Holloway, you didn't mention that Mr. Deleuze had been to your home before, Soltan said. It must have slipped my mind, Holloway said, probably because he didn't actually get into my house. He was stuck out in the skimmer, as you can see. Why was he there in the first place? Soltan asked. Because he was allegedly Wheaton Aubrey's security detail, Holloway said. And what was Mr. Aubrey doing at your place? Soltan asked. I'm not sure it's entirely relevant to the matter at hand, Holloway said. Let me be the judge of that, Soltan said. All right, Holloway said, and then looked over at Aubrey and Landon. They were there to bribe me into throwing the hearing to determine the fuzzy's sapience. Offered me the entire northwest continent, they did. They, Soltan said. Yes, Aubrey and his assistant Brad Landon, Holloway said. Chad Bourne was there too, but I'm pretty sure he was just their cover for sneaking out to my place in the guise of one of Chad's official contract rep meetings. You could ask him. I'm sure at this point he'd be happy to talk. This is all allegation, Your Honor, Meyer said. And for once, Mr. Holloway is right. This isn't the right venue for this line of questioning. I agree, Holloway said, although, now that I think of it, it does offer an explanation for how Deleuze got access to the skimmer. All that time alone in the skimmer would be a perfect time to duplicate the data off the key fob, that is, when Deleuze wasn't busy yelling at fuzzies. There's no proof of that, Meyer said. Oh, he's definitely yelling at the fuzzy, Holloway said, intentionally misreading Meyer's comment. It's the same fuzzy he shot later, in fact. That's enough, Mr. Holloway, Soltan said. This is a complete farce, Your Honor, Meyer said. It's bad enough you just allowed Holloway to slander Mr. Aubrey and Mr. Landon, but entertaining testimony from this creature is beyond ridiculous. The creature can't make the visual connection between Mr. Deleuze and the man in a ski mask. Instead, we're asked to believe instead that this thing can recognize a voice it's allegedly heard only once, days after the initial encounter. This is a sham, Your Honor, pure and simple. While I wouldn't call this a sham, Ms. Meyer has a point, Mr. Holloway, Soltan said. There's a reason they're called eyewitnesses, not ear witnesses. Your Honor, do me a favor and order Mr. Deleuze not to speak, Holloway said. Excuse me? Soltan said. Please, Your Honor, Holloway said. Soltan looked at Holloway strangely. Mr. Deleuze, she said, you are not allowed to speak again until I tell you to. You can nod your understanding. Deleuze nodded. You have your silent defendant, Mr. Holloway, Soltan said. Thank you. But it's worth noting he had been silent before, Holloway said. In fact, Mr. Deleuze has been silent the entire time Papa Fuzzy has been in the courtroom. So, I propose a little challenge. Ms. Meyer says it's impossible that Papa could have recognized a voice it heard only once before. Fine. Let's do a lineup. Holloway waved at the small army of lawyers. This courtroom is full of men. Pick as many of them as you want and put Mr. Deleuze with them. Then turn Papa around so it can't see any of them. Have them speak the same sentence. If Papa picks the wrong one or can't identify the voice, throw out the testimony. Soltan turned to Meyer, who looked about to object. You were the one who objected to ear witnesses, Soltan said, shutting her down. Pick four. Mr. Holloway, pick four as well. Gentlemen, if you are picked, go to the far wall of the courtroom, but don't line up yet. Mr. DeLees, you go back there as well. Holloway and Meyer made their picks. DeLees shuffled back to the far wall.
I also have a pick, Soltan said. Mr. Aubrey, walk to the wall, please.
Your Honor, this is outrageous, said Brad Landon. Don't you start, Mr. Landon, Soltan said. Your boss goes to the wall, or he goes to a holding cell on a contempt charge. One or the other. I don't have all day. Aubrey walked to the wall.
Mr. Holloway, prepare your witness, Soltan said.
Holloway walked to the witness stand and turned Papa around.
Do not look, he said. When the men speak and you hear a voice you know, say so. Yes?
Yes,
Papa said.
Holloway looked up at Soltan, who nodded. Arrange your men, Ms. Meyer. Meyer arranged the men so DeLees was 8th and Aubrey 10th. Swap the last one with one of the others, Soltan said. Meyer bit her cheek and swapped Aubrey with the 4th man.
What shall we have them say, Mr. Holloway? Soltan asked. I think Jesus Christ my goddamn face would work just fine, Holloway said.
Number 1, say the line, Soltan said.
Jesus Christ my goddamn face, said the man.
Holloway glanced down at the fuzzy, who was motionless and silent.
Number 2, Soltan said after a minute.
The man spoke his line, Papa said nothing. It did the same with number 3.
Jesus Christ my goddamn face, said Aubrey.
I know this voice,
said Papa.
It is one of the other men who came to the house of Jack Holloway. It is not the man who killed my child.
Soltan looked at Aubrey with a face that said, got you. Aubrey did not seem particularly concerned.
Number 5, Soltan said. The man said his line, nothing from Papa. Man 6, nothing. Man 7, nothing.
Jesus Christ, my goddamn face, said DeLees.
Papa took in a sharp breath, held it, and let it out.
I know this voice,
the fuzzy said.
It is the voice of the man who killed my child. It is the voice of the man who killed the mate of my child.
Are you sure? Soltan said.
I know this voice,
Papa said, and its voice was surprisingly forceful.
Papa looked up at Soltan.
Do you not have a child? If a man killed your child, you would know about that man. You would know the face of the man. You would know the hands of the man. You would know the smell of the man. You would know the voice of the man. This is the voice of the man who killed my child who I cannot see, who I cannot hold, who is gone. My child is gone. This man killed my child. I know this voice.
Papa fell to its knees in the witness stand and keened silently as far as the humans could hear. The courtroom was absolutely still.
Your Honor, Holloway said quietly after several moments.
The testimony stands, Soltan said also quietly. Everyone, sit down again.